fortunate to have Mr. Charles Jester with us this morning. He's in the Clinton camp of Gideon's. And I learned earlier this morning that he worked with Greenwood Mills for 47 years and worked in the Joanna plant a number of those years, and New Ginger's daddy. So it's a small world, even though he comes from Cross Hill. So we're glad to have him with us. I would like to mention, too, the mission of the Gideons. Sometimes they do witness to people, but that's not the mission of the Gideons. The mission is to give out Bibles. And God said, I should have looked this up. I think it's in Ephesians. But God promised the Gideons, if they would provide the Bible, he'd do everything else. So that's all the Gideons have to do, is make sure. Now, they do witness from time to time to people who don't know the Lord. But their mission in life is to pass out Bibles so that others may learn about God. So, Mr. Jester, if you would come this morning, we're certainly pleased to have you.
When I get up for a congregation, I got this big old book. They think, boy, we're going to be a long time. Y'all were lucky this morning. I told your pastor, and I told Mr. Jacks, first 37 years of my life I spent as a Methodist. So I remember the creed. I remember I was on the board of stewards at two churches, and one in Greenwood and one in 96. I went to the Methodist conference. So I'm very familiar with being a Methodist. He said, well, why did you become a Baptist? Well, when I moved to Cross Hill, if you ever been to Cross Hill, there was a Baptist church and a Presbyterian church. And the Baptist church was only about a block from where my wife and family moved. So we joined the Baptist church. Now, the Baptist church, they think they got to drown you. So I had to be drowned. But I survived. I came through it. But it's a pleasure to be here. It's good to be back in Methodist Church. Now I go, and I told you up front, they sent a Gideon out of the Lawrence camp, and they sent Mr. Jacks out of the Clinton camp to make sure that I don't mess up. Now, I might move about a little bit, but the first thing on the Gideon agenda is to get your attention with an attention getter. Now, the one that I like to use all the time, which it doesn't fit your church, I know, because we got everybody back here Christian. Everybody knows Lord Jesus Christ. And if you wonder, we believe everything from Genesis to the end of that Bible. That is God's infallible word. Nothing else matters except that book. And if you live your life by that book, everything matters. And I'm just so glad that the Gideons put in the last of that book, the book of Proverbs. Now, folks, I live in the book of Proverbs. It's all about life. It tells you how you're supposed to treat people. It tells you in the first four chapters of Proverbs, live by the Ten Commandments. Why does it cover it in all the chapters? Very important, or it wouldn't be there. A lot of people think, well, Jesus came along, and we don't have to worry about the Ten Commandments. Oh, yeah. They're still as relevant now as they were then. But what I started to tell you is, in the Baptist church, and this was Baptist. I'll talk about Baptist people because I'm one. Yeah, I can talk about them. We had a Baptist who taught Sunday school. He was on the board of deacons. He sang in the choir. He was at church every Sunday. But one of his friends happened to be a Gideon. And he noticed and his conversations and the way he lived his life, and people, I'm telling you, it doesn't matter what you say. It's what you do. And if you don't think people are watching you, you got another thing coming. If you're not different Monday through Saturday than they are, they notice it. Well, this Gideon happened to notice that his friend, even though he was playing Christian, he knew and saw he didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. One day he gave him a little Gideon Bible. And he said, I want you to read in that Bible. That's all he did. Just give it to him. Like Mr. Jack said, our job is to give them out. And what you do with it is left up with you. 2 months later, he got saved. All these years, he'd been playing church. And I say that about Baptists because I'm a Baptist. You know, the Baptists, there's three preachers went to heaven. They got up with St. Peter and he went down the hall and just one door was shut and no noise. He got down there and all the Methodists were having a good time. He went on down and there was another door and he opened up. The Presbyterians were having a good time. He said, St. Peter, that door back there, suppose you didn't open it. He said, no, it's quiet in there. He said, they Baptists. He said, they don't think nobody's in there but us. That's not what my Bible tells me. Okay? I promise you that. We were founded in 1899. Two men were in Wisconsin and they stopped at a motel to get a room to spend the night. All the rooms, they were having some kind of festival like they have in Clinton and Orange. The rooms were full, so they had to share a room. When they got in the room, found out what? Both of them were Christian. And they started praying. And they thought, what can we do? And they founded an organization called the Gideon that some of us belong to today. And are proud that we belong to it. Now, I've had two occasions. Two things that you men back there are not going to believe this when I tell you. But in 1960, I attended 2 years for a Methodist college. You ever heard of it? Some Methodist stuff. My mom called me. We have one phone in the lot. My dad ran flashers at the old time system. My mom called me and said, son, I gave you dad's been surgery. You got a name on the flasher.
I said, he takes that Old Testament everywhere he goes. And he brought it to school every Tuesday, I know. And he said, you know what? We ain't been to church 5 years. They've been to the church every Sunday. Every Sunday night. And now they've all joined the church. And he's been baptized. God worked a miracle when he just handed out one Bible. That's all we do is give them out. I don't guess any of them to anything else. Every once in a while we can witness. But not that often.
God works miracles. And you know what we are? We're nothing but an extended missionary from your church, from my church. You know, we can get in countries where a Baptist church or whatever can't get in those countries. For some reason, they let us go into Russia or let us go into China to give our Bible. Well, a Baptist or a Methodist church doing that, they won't allow them to come in. So we are missionaries from Protestant church. I had the privilege of going down in Clinton to a black church. Have you ever been to a black church? My goodness, wow, y'all wouldn't make it. Same with them and think you belong to them. We adopted Gideon as our name. God takes the most unlikely people. You ever notice that in reading your Bible? He takes people that you and I probably wouldn't select to do nothing. Who in the world would have taken Saul, who personally how many books in our New Testament? He took Noah to build an ark. He took people that you and I probably would not associate with. But you know where our job is? It's to bring people into this church, into every church. They don't care. I ain't about people to come to church. Well, they come to my church, not come to my church. Because God means. Our country's in terrible shape. We can make, you know what? He made a statement I fully agree with. Who's talking? The Bible. When they get Gray out of school, what do we do? You want to spell the word? You know, T-H-I-N-E. Yeah. We just accept it and went on with it. We let the government do things to us. Took down the Ten Commandments. Because one person who's an atheist gets up and puts one. Same thing happened to us in our school. When I went to school, and most of you people that are my age, and every one of you, I know. First thing we did was go to the auditorium and have a prayer and sing. Now you don't have to hear that. And we just let it happen. I didn't do it. We are now in 195 countries giving out Gideon Bibles. And we, as Gideons, and we're not, I'm not bragging, we by our own Bible. My wife's a better Gideonette than I am a Gideon. I'll be honest with you. We both got cases of Bible. But you know what? I buy her two cases and throw my one case. Why? Because she gives them out more than I do. Well, we buy our own Bible. We pay our own dues. And we don't ask, we ask the churches to pray for us. Now we'll send it to the bank. I'll have my Bible out there. And if you feel they to give, that money goes 100% to buy Bible. It doesn't spend. We keep up the corporate office in Nashville through our deal. What we pay to be a gift. And then we buy our own testaments. We've given out, as already alluded to, over 2 billion copies of God's Word. We have them in 94 languages. I have a hard time reading the English language, much less reading the other language. But God called us to a ministry. And that ministry is to give out the Bible. We go over here to the prison. We have a give out down at Clinton First Baptist Church outside the can't get into schools except the government of South Carolina finally let us in a little bit through that ministry. But we hand out Bibles down there once a year to kids that will come through. We're in 48 countries right now that those people can hardly survive. They don't have food. They don't have a whole lot of anything. But the Gideons are there trying our best. At least they got the Lord Jesus Christ if they read their Bible. You know, one Bible placed in a hotel, motel room, according to our statistics, has the potential over a 6 or 7 year period of time, which is the lifespan of that Bible, to reach 2,300 people. It has that potential. And I don't know about you, but when Connie and I travel, first thing I do is see what it's got to get in Bible. Now, a lot of motels, man, hotels, have taken them out. Well, you knew that. Not they put them down with the check-in. Because somebody complained about a Bible being in the room, it wasn't the Koran, it wasn't whatever else. And they complained about it being a Christian Bible. So now some motels you got to ask. They got them, they're given to you. But you might find a room somewhere that doesn't have the Bible in it. Because some of the motels, following one person complaining, they're taking them out. So we're letting a minority of people dictate what you and I believe. But you and I became accustomed to it.
There was this young man on Christmas Eve. He had a major problem.
And it centered around alcohol. He went home that day and he was inebriated, if that's the proper word. He was drunk. Why kick him out? He'd had enough of it. He checked in a motel. Bully intended to kick him. Take it all out.
choice, and God gave us that choice. We're the only people, human beings, got a choice. And we make a choice. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you read that Bible, there ain't but two places. But we're either going to hell or going to hell. You say, well, that ain't worth it, because I don't know how to get to think anymore. I know one thing, when I came along, I don't know whether y'all said to get to the upper room or not. We did. That was a morning ritual in my house. My family sat around the breakfast table and we took that upper room and it had one day of time. Now we got to stand firm. We don't have access in the upper room since my mom died. She was still mad the day she died. But we took that upper room, and if you don't do that, I encourage you. You got a Bible verse there, and then you got a little story that I used to read. It talks about that. Be with your family. That's where kids start. Family. And if we don't teach them home, if they don't get taught here, they're not going to get taught. Because nobody else is going to teach them. Take your time and spend time. 91.8 million copies of God's Word given out. Every time you snap your finger, and you think about it, there's two copies of the Bible being handed out somewhere to somebody who needs a Bible. And they come from people that love Jesus Christ. That's the only way they'll ever know what God's Word is. The only way. We give out 8, 9. I can't count. I'm not as good as that little boy. We got 9 different colored Bibles that we give out. Some of them are for the military. Some of them are for children. Some of them are for prisons. Some of them are just personal testaments, little brown ones that we give out. My wife's got little blue ones that she gives out. We give white ones to the doctors and the nurses. You know, I go to a doctor over here, Dr. Montgomery, he's my doctor. I couldn't see. I didn't know my wife was pretty she was until I got my eyes on her. I didn't know she was a white girl until I got my eyes. That's what I hear about all the time. But you know what I found when I go in his office? I give his Bible away. And you know what I do? I get up reading. And I spend a lot of time in Proverbs, and I'm not going over. I got to tell you the story for a little bit. I read Proverbs. I'm going to tell you that. Folks, read Proverbs. It tells you about life, how to live your life. And if you don't read Proverbs, you're missing out. You can read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but look back to the Old Testament and look at Proverbs, and that's why we got it in those books. New Testament. For everybody. The last book, Bible book in that New Testament is going to be tells you how to live your life. I'm serious with you. If you don't, you read Proverbs. Now, one other story I'm going to tell you. We got to go in a little place that none of you know about, I'm sure, but the name of it's Colombia, South America. 75% of the cocaine supplied in our country comes out of that country. They make their living on drugs. They ruin our children. I'm just glad that I was old enough. When I came along, we didn't know what nothing was, except we might smoke cigarettes and daddy would put behind his hand. But I'm so thankful I stand up here today to tell you, my daddy wasn't mean. But when my daddy said come home at 11 o'clock, you know what? He meant come home at 11 o'clock. And one other story about my daddy. He's been dead 25 years. He didn't make me go to church. He gave me church. But I learned a valuable lesson one Sunday morning. I got up, died on the cross, but he rose from the dead. And I believe he's coming back. It may not be today. We've been hearing that for 5 years. He's coming back. But we don't know what his time frame is. But I promise you one thing. His word will be fulfilled. And that Bible is God's word. All the way from Genesis, all the way to the end of that. And we need to spend time with him in prayer. Prayer is our way of communicating. And he may not be answering your prayer today or tomorrow, and he may not answer the way you want to answer. I prayed one time for a new car, and I got 32 of you. And you don't know, that was in 1980. You don't know if you're going to answer the prayer the way you want, but you can bet one day you will answer. So we give them what you pray for. Pray for your family and your friends, and that we get close to walk with you. I want you to know it's been a pleasure, and I'm very bad about going over time, and I know all of you want to go home, so let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this day.
Thank you for the opportunity of being here. Thank you for other Christian people that we can meet together and discuss you and your word. We pray, Father, that you would bless this church, use every member in a way that only you know what they can do. Thank you, Lord, for giving me this opportunity to tell others about you. Go with us now. Bless us and keep us in Christ's name.